time together, and even though we're not together, I pray that you're able to go with me through this study, and we'll continue to seek God and seek His Word for our lives, and we'll be back together sooner than later. So I'll make a brief announcement about that when we're done. But if you have your Bibles, or if you open to Isaiah chapter 5, we're going to begin with verse 21 tonight. Picking up after the woes, there are six woes in this section of Isaiah that we're looking at, and we've covered four so far. We're going to pick up with number 5 here in verse 21. So let's dive right in. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And this one really hits home. Out of all of the woes we've covered so far, it's safe to say that there are a lot of people who fall into this category. Isaiah really hit the culture of his day with this core issue. It was all about their wisdom, their desires, versus God's wisdom. Israel had the law. They had all of the history of God's deliverance and protection, as well as God's judgment on their ancestors. But as it always is, they had a short memory, just as we have a short memory today. See, God told them over and over to remember what He had done for them. In Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3, we read, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers." And listen here, he says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that it may make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Deuteronomy 9:7 says, "Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord." And Ecclesiastes 9:14 through 16 says, "There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard." Today, we can look at the parallel of our country, where we are today, versus where Israel was then. We have a history. We have a foundation laid in this country based on the principles and biblical principles that became who we are today. Everything about this country was laid with biblical principles. I want to read something to you, and I'll tell you in a moment who this is from. "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and cherish them. A volume could not trace all their connections with private and public felicity. Let it simply be asked, where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths which are the instruments of investigation in courts of justice? And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. This was written by George Washington in his farewell address in 1796. He understood the foundations of this country. He understood that we can't separate morality and religion. You can't have one without the other. He understood that it's a godly nation that is being built that's going to be able to sustain the morality and the religion and make it grow together and grow to be the strong country that we were that we would become. Our Pledge of Allegiance states one nation under God, indivisible. If we're not under God, we are divisible. And that's what's happening today. We see the division in our country today. It's a major division right down the middle. There are those who want to return to the foundations and the biblical principles and the morality and all of the things that were laid out for us in the beginning. And then we have those who want to turn against God's ways, who want to turn against the things of God. And we see it happening all around us. Today, some of our elected officials want to remove God from every aspect of our government. Removing the Ten Commandments from our courthouses. Removing Bibles and prayer from our schools. Laws being passed that stand against God's Word. I could go on and on, but you see the point. We have forgotten our roots, just as Israel had forgotten theirs, and judgment was brought down upon them. God's Word warns us not to be wise in our own eyes, but keep our eyes upon Him. Remember who He is, and remember what He's done for us. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 31 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.'" Where is the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 20. "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him also become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, 'He catches the wise in their own craftiness.' And again, 'The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile.'" So, looking at these passages, understanding where Israel was and the fact that they had taken their eyes off of God and judgment was brought down upon them, how does this apply to us? How does it apply to us today? Well, I want us to think about this for just a few short weeks ago. Think about this. Just a few short weeks ago, the business and economic world were riding on an all-time high. Our stock market was over 31,000. It was an all-time high. While our unemployment was at an all-time low. The housing market was booming. Restaurants and bars were full, and there seemed to be no end to the best of times. It was just going forward, moving forward, more and more, more money, more power, more gain. And then out of nowhere, this coronavirus hit. It just swept across the world. And all that was accomplished, particularly here in this country, in man's plans, were wiped out in an instant. Gone, just like that. We're facing an unprecedented health concern in this country right now, unprecedented economic issues, and a meltdown like we've never seen in our lifetime. Now, I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I'm not coming here to beat down everything we already know. We've heard this over and over now in the news and everything happening around us. That's not my point that I'm making here. These are the facts of where we are and how we got here. Where do we go from here is yet to be determined. Will things bounce back? Will this health scare be brought under containment? Will everything change and be settled down quickly? We don't know. But what I do know, and what I believe we all know as believers, is God is using this season to knock on the door of our hearts and show us that there's no security in the wisdom of man's plans. That foundation is cracked. It's built on greed. It's built on power. It's built on lust. It's built on the desires of the world. But our security and our hope should not be in a stock market. It shouldn't be in the things of this world. Our security is in Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is our only hope because He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, and His wisdom will never fail. Psalm 16:1 says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." And Lamentations 3:21-24 says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord, and the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him." Hebrews 6:18 says, "That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us." He is our refuge. He is our hope. And may I say today, I hope that we are seeking Him and fleeing the fear of what's going on around us, because we're consumed with fear all around us. It's just pumped into us right now. What's going to happen? How's all this going to work out? Will I get my money back? Is the health going to get cleared up? What's going to happen? Nobody knows. We don't know what's happening around us. But we know the One who has it all in the palm of His hand. I firmly believe that God is speaking to those who are His during this crisis. I also believe that if we stand firm in Him during this time without fear, those around us who don't know Him will see that hope within us. And what better witness that we can we have that we can shine hope and peace and joy in the midst of this difficult season that we're in? I believe that God will reveal Himself to those who are seeking Him. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." This is who we are. This is who we're called to be. We have to seek the Lord. We have to desire Him above all things. We have to come to the place to where we are not walking in this fear, where we're not walking in the concerns of this world. I believe that this is the time where God can raise up His church in this time of need and bring us into that relationship with Him and into that hope with Him, that we're not finding ourselves down and distraught and in fear as the world does. They have no hope. Their foundation just collapsed. But our foundation lives forever. And we will live with Him forever. And this is something that we need to really grab a hold of, because if we don't, we're missing an opportunity here. And I believe God's given us this opportunity. I believe He's pouring in right now to the church saying, "Hey, You've been looking over here and dabbling in the world. You've been doing the things of the world. You've invested your money. You've done all these things. And hey, I understand all that, but let me tell you that you've got to look to me as your security. This world has no security. Everything will fail. Everything will fall apart in this world. It's been proven over and over. Look at the history. The collapse in 2001. People lost millions in the stock market. Lost their 401ks in their retirement. 2008, same thing happened again. And now we're in this season. Same thing's happening again. History repeats itself. We as Christians need to be always looking at what the past has shown us so that we can walk in the hope of today, not in the fear of yesterday, and not in the fear of today that's now surrounding us. All of this stuff and that's happening around us, we don't know where it's going to wind up. Will it be restored? Will the economy come back booming? Will they come up with a cure or a vaccine for this disease that's going around and spreading so rapidly? I don't know. I really don't know. What I do know is that we as Christians don't need to be submitted into this whole aspect of fear because of what's going on, but that we walk in the hope and in the security of Jesus Christ. We need to remember who He is in this time. We need to remember what He's done for us in this time. We need to remember by studying God's Word how He dealt with Israel, how He blessed them when they were obedient, and how He disciplined them when they were rebellious. Could it be that we right now are going through a discipline? If this country was founded on Christian principles, if God's truth was in George Washington's address and in his heart, and many of the men who signed the Constitution and signed the Declaration and all of these things that we have in our history, and we know, we can go back and look. Of course, I know today there are many leaders that would try to take that out of our history books. They would try to say that, no, that's not what this was about. And they're trying to deny God today by taking all this stuff away. But we as believers have to hang on to truth. We have to hang on to what the Word says. We have to hang on to the history of who God is and what He's done and what He wants to do. See, the secret here that we really need to look at, and it's no secret at all, it's history. But if you look around at every superpower that ever existed, they are imploded or destroyed within 200 to 300 years. Why is that? It's because of sin. It's because of greed, power. It's because of dictatorship and control. It's about taking over every other land that they can possibly take over. And then they take their eyes upon themselves, just as Nebuchadnezzar did, and says, look at this great land and this great thing that I have built. And we saw what God did with him. He humbled him. And this is what God wants to do with us today. He wants to bring us, and I believe He's bringing us now through this situation we're going through to a place of humility to recognize where our security is. And we need to be praying for our country. We need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying for the lost, because there are many who will go into depression over this. There are many who might even take their own lives because they feel like they've lost everything. But we can be a light to them and say, no, you've lost nothing if you have Jesus Christ as your hope. If you have Him in a relationship that He is your foundation, you can go through anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Our hope is in Him. And we need to make sure that we keep our lives in that position in the midst of all these things that are happening around us. Don't walk in fear. Don't walk in anxiety. Don't walk in the unknown and the fear of the unknown. Stay in what we do know. And what we know is Jesus. Jesus. He's all we need. He knows what we do need. He knows that we have a shelter. He knows we need places to vehicles to drive. He knows we need clothes. He knows we need food. He knows all of these things. So why do we worry about him? Because he's our provider. Our jobs are not our provider. Our bank accounts are not our stability and security. We need Jesus, and we need to keep our eyes focused upon him. Now we're going to look at this last woe, which is actually two in one. And once again, this woe is toward the drunkard who puts wine and mixed drink as a priority in their lives, a priority. Isaiah now shows them what will come upon them for their wickedness. Because, see, when you have this mindset of the fleshly, worldly desires, the drunkenness, and the desire to have all the mixed drink and put that above other things, you will collapse. It will, your whole world will collapse. And verses 22 through 30 read, "Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take a justice away from the righteous man. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness, and their blossom will ascend like dust, because they rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them, and the hills trembled. Their carcasses were as refuse in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. He will lift up a banner to the nations from afar, and will whistle to them from the end of the earth. Surely they shall come with speed swiftly. No one will be weary or stumble among them. No one will slumber or sleep, nor will the belt on their loins be loosed, nor the strap of their sandals be broken. Whose arrows are sharp, and all their bows are bent. Their horses' hooves will seem like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring will be like a lion. They will roar like young lions. Yes, they will roar and lay hold of the prey. They will carry it away safely, and no one will deliver. In that day, they will roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if anyone looks to the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened by clouds." We see this judgment. We see that God will not relent. We see that Israel in their day, Judah in their day, were all about having fun, gaining things of the world, mixing intoxicating drinks. And then their honor and their character shifted, and they justify the wicked for a bribe. They're willing to take a bribe in order to get more out of it, take more money. You know, oh, okay, I'll say this on your behalf. Change the story, whatever it may be, taking justice from the righteous and giving honor to the wicked. This is what was going on. And God is saying, because of this, I will bring this destruction upon you. And we just read the destruction, bring nations against them. They will run swiftly at God's hand. What does this tell us? It tells us that God's hand is in control of all the nations. God's hand is in control of everything that goes on around us. And in the world that we live in today, most people think they're in control. Or the government's in control. Or the system's the best system and it's in control. But as we mentioned earlier, our system has collapsed. It's collapsed in front of us. In an instant, things have been taken from a high to a low. God is above the nations. God rules and reigns and directs nations to and from. And God raises up nations and he brings down nations. All for his glory and all for his people. And this is something that we need to understand. As Christians, we need to make sure that we're keeping our eyes upon him. We need to make sure that we're not distracted with the things of the world, because we don't want to find ourselves against him. And right now, there are many in our government that are. There are many in this world that are, because of the division that comes because we've taken God out of our nation. Let us restore our faith in Him. Let us restore the government to be in His hands. Let us restore our own hearts as we get on our knees, as we pray for the government, as we pray for this land, pray for healing for these that are sick, not just with this virus, but with many other things. Pray for the healing of the land. But most importantly, as the church, we need to be praying that our hearts are turned to the Lord, that we may be that light to the darkness, and that those that see us say, "Oh, wow, this guy's not afraid. What has he got that I need? What has he got that I don't have?" We have Jesus Christ. We can never take our eyes off of Him. And I want to encourage you with that today. I want to encourage you that God is your strength. He is your hope. Do not fear what man can do to you. Do not fear what has been taken from you. Let it go if that's what we have to do. Let Him build us in Him so that we're not dependent upon the things of the world. Father, I pray that You would open our ears for this message. This is a hard message because we are going through a difficult time. Many of Your people are hurting, and the world is hurting all around us, Lord. I don't know what You're doing. I don't know how You're going to work this out, but I know You're in control, and I know we trust You, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. May You do what You see fit. Your will be done, because it will be the right thing for us as Christians, the right thing for the church as a whole, the right thing for this country. Thank You, Lord. We praise You, and we thank You. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Based on what the government or the governor had made on his announcement in the last couple of days, we are going to continue to do the videos and the live stream on Sunday morning all the way through at least the 6th of April. It may go further. We're going to take it as it comes, but right now that's our plan. So continue to pray. I look forward to seeing you guys again soon. I love you. I miss you. And I look forward to seeing what God is going to do in the midst of all that's happening among us. But always remember, He is our hope and our strength and our peace. Amen and amen.